You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm April Baer. As Governor Whitmer and other officials acknowledged today at a news conference, the dream of streamlining traffic between Detroit and Windsor is still under construction. The Gordie Howe International Bridge, a mile-and-a-half-long design of soaring white cables and deck, is meant to ease congestion and boost trade. A lot of regional leaders, including former Governor Rick Snyder, have called it mission critical. Let's listen to what he said when he formally announced the bridge in 2011.
This project isn't just a Detroit issue. Every farmer and manufacturer in our state can tell you why it's important to have world trade. This new bridge will create jobs, strengthen our economy, and help establish Michigan as a hub for global commerce.
Many had hoped that in 2020 we would be driving across this bridge regularly, but after years of delay and negotiation, we are just over a year into construction. With us now to discuss the project is Bryce Phillips. He's the CEO of the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority. Mr. Phillips, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
How's construction going at this point?
Right now, construction's on track. We started after financial close, and we're working on both sides of the border. Most of what you'd see if you went by is all below grade. We're going down to make the footings for the two towers on each side of the river.
Once those footings are complete, when might we expect to see the towers start to go up?
We're expecting footings to be complete in the spring. From there, there's a foundation that's put on top of all that, you know, a rebar reinforced foundation. And then you'll start to see towers going up. So I would expect by this time next year, people that are driving around downtown Detroit or downtown Windsor will start to see towers rising in the air.
Have the trade tensions between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico meant any problems for the project in terms of sourcing construction materials?
The RFP process that was put in place 3-4 years ago was very robust, and it worked well in terms of the two partners, Canada and the U.S., working through all the different potential trade issues that could arise, working with our constructor partners to make sure that we had everything in place. And what we're seeing right now with all the procurement that's going on is trade issues are not a problem or any kind of roadblock for getting the materials or people that we need to work on the bridge.
People in both Detroit and Windsor have had a taste of road closures at this early stage of construction. We're not even close to peak construction points. What can you tell us about the intensity of road closures to expect over the next few years?
You're right. Road closures are beginning now on both sides of the border. We expect peak construction to be the years 2021, 22, 23. So working with both the Michigan Department of Transportation and with our construction partners, we're doing a lot of preparatory work to get all the any potential bugs or wrinkles out of the permit process to make sure that when it comes to road closures, there's adequate notice for the residents and for businesses in the area so that they can plan their way around those road closures when the peak hits, you know, a year and a half from now.
It's really taken a long time to get the funding and permits for the bridge just to this point. There were holdups on both sides of the border, but we still have at least one major issue outstanding. As you know, the Canadian government says that the Ambassador Bridge, which has been our main road corridor for 90 years, will have to be torn down once the replacement bridge is done. But the family that runs the Ambassador Bridge believes that the U.S. permits were issued with the understanding that their bridge would still stand. Whose responsibility is it to sort this out?
A lot of effort was put into working through all the legalities on both sides of the border. And our mandate is to ensure we get the Gordie Howe Bridge built. There are other players that are involved, but that's nothing to do with the Windsor Detroit Bridge Authority. We're focused on getting this bridge built. Everything that we need to do to be able to do that, including property acquisition, we're on track to achieve what we need to achieve in a timely fashion so that it does not delay B&A in their construction.
Is there a possibility that litigation over the Ambassador Bridge might interfere with the Gordie Howe Bridge process?
No, part of the schedule development for the bridge and the ports of entries on both sides and for the interchange to the I-75, all the property acquisition, that was thought through and incorporated into the schedule. We expect that as the last of the issues are resolved, and MDOT takes possession, and then we get possession from MDOT, that will support the schedule that's been built, so we don't see it holding up this project at all.
Quite a bit of energy has been put into both property acquisition and mitigation for some of the folks living within the footprint of the bridge project. A researcher for the University of Michigan's School of Public Health recently co-authored a report recommending the home swap for people living close to the bridge be expanded substantially. She says that the health impacts from pollution from the new bridge are serious enough that people should be relocated in an area more than twice as large as the current perimeter. It stands as a 150-foot perimeter right now. She's suggesting that be expanded to 500 feet. Do you believe that funding could be found to do that?
We are working closely with our partners on both sides of the border. I'm actually quite proud of the work that we have done over the last 2-3 years on community benefits and the impacts that are going to happen to the residents on both sides. We continue to work with the City of Detroit, with all the stakeholders in the region, so we'll work through any of the issues that are identified, studies that come up with other findings through our stakeholders and through our partners to make sure that everything's properly addressed.
Are you saying the research would have to be echoed by the authorities' own staff for that to be on the table?
We are working closely with our partners. We've got a contract with BNA to do community benefits, and we intend to meet the commitments in that contract and the commitments we've made on both sides of the border. And we'll continue to work with both the stakeholders and you know, the cities and their jurisdictions to address any items that get raised between now and when the community benefits plan is implemented.
I think I'm hearing you say that hasn't been put on the table at this time.
That is correct.
Administrators have come on to this job and retired in the time that it's taken to get the project underway. What's your compass for knowing that the vision for the bridge is still on target?
A lot of people understandably think that it's taken a long time to get where we're at. But in actual fact, if you're involved in these very large infrastructure projects, what you typically see is that you spend more time getting ready than you actually do constructing. And that's not intuitive. So the feedback I've given people on both sides of the border is I do expect that we'll meet the construction schedule because of all the really good work you did getting us ready. We spent more time getting ready than it's going to take to build, and that's the recipe for success. So I'm very positive about the outlook of getting this bridge built as we've committed.
If there's a completion date that you could offer for folks who've been hearing about this through 3 Michigan governors and 3 U.S. presidents, what would you tell them right now?
Well, I would tell them about the completion date is that this is a very complex project. It's actually 4 projects in one. You know, it's the bridge, but it's the ports of entry on both sides. It's also the interchange to the I-75, and it's across international borders. The commitment we have, the target we're shooting for, and we are on track right now, is the end of 2024 to have the bridge open to the public.
Mr. Phillips, many businesses, both large and small, stand to benefit from having a new corridor for their transportation needs. But the construction has also meant substantial change for entire neighborhoods. On the Detroit side, neighborhoods that hold a lot of history. I'm talking about the Delray area, home to, in the past, Hungarian families, more recently African-American families, Latino families, and others. And we understand some neighborhoods on the Windsor side have been through similar issues. What can you say about who benefits ultimately from this project?
That's a very good question. And again, I'm proud of the work the teams have done both sides of the border to address the community impacts. What a lot of people don't know about me is my family actually goes back 200 years in the Sandwich area. So this project is actually near and dear to my heart. You know, I was born and raised and educated in Windsor. Family goes back 200 years. So, you know, I'm paying attention and closely watching how we're dealing with all the stakeholders and communities to make sure we're responsible in everything we do on both sides of the border. Just recently, I was in Delray with some of my community benefits team, and we received very blunt but positive feedback from the community members about what they see us doing to support the impacts in Delray. So we'll continue to meet with them, we'll continue to listen and work with them to make the impact as minor as possible.
Mr. Phillips, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bryce Phillips is the CEO of the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority.